Remembering love is the strength of our song. The hymn we just sang actually is the basis for our conversation throughout the month of October. With Jeff's ordination celebration coming up next week, we thought it would be a good time to talk about ministry. A month talking about ministry. Now, next week we'll talk a little bit about ordained ministry, what it means to serve in an ordained capacity, celebrating that invitation and inviting others to hear that call. But ministry is more than that. In fact, if you hear me introduce myself on a Sunday morning, you'll hear me say, "Good morning, my name is Brad Lorvik. I'm one of the ministers on staff." That's a very important distinction. In fact, for the longest time, we used to list the entire staff in the bulletin, back when it was like 4 pages longer. And one of the things it would list was ministers, the entire congregation. Pastor Brad Lorvik. The idea that we all are in ministry. Now, this can be a complicated thing to discuss for some folks, because many of us, when we hear the word ministry, we think, you know, clergy people. I had this conversation with my grandfather. My mother's dad was a funeral director. I would have been a fifth-generation funeral director if I'd gone into that. My great-grandfather, my great-uncle, my grandfather, my uncle, two of my cousins, part of that family business, small town South Dakota. And when I was in seminary, I was in a class on death and dying, grief and loss. And we all got to pick our own final project. So I did a history with my family. Many of those folks are now gone. I interviewed my great-uncle. I interviewed my grandma. Her dad, her brother, her husband, and her son were all funeral directors, to hear her perspective on what that was. But most importantly, I wanted to spend time talking with my grandpa to hear stories and learn a little bit. Ask him things like, "What's the one thing you wish pastors knew about doing funerals?" And we had these great conversations. Towards the end of the conversation with him, I said, "So, Grandpa, do you understand the work you've done as a ministry?" And direct quote, he said, "No, I leave the ministry to the pastor. I just take care of people." Grandpa, let's talk for a minute, because I'm pretty sure that's what ministry is. I remember talking with my uncle, and I said, "Do you understand what you do as ministry?" "Of course." And there was this generational piece for my grandfather of ministry was what the pastor did, and he would never step on those toes. He just did all the hard work, caring for people, paying attention to the details, serving them, making sure their needs were met and that they were surrounded by love. You know, that stuff. We are all in ministry. In fact, Highlands United Methodist Church itself, throughout the late 80s, had a banner that hung on the side of the building right out there on 32nd Avenue that read, "Everyone a minister for Jesus Christ." I found that banner once. I was like, "What? Okay." It was that invitation for folks to see themselves in ministry. Because ministry is about service. And honestly, sometimes that word we're more comfortable with. If we're all invited to serve, sometimes that sounds a little more inviting than, "I'm inviting you to ministry." Service is an important way to think of it, because our world is in need of service. Our community is in need of service. Even our congregation is in need of service. There's a lot of need. And this is something Jesus actually spends some time talking about. In the Gospel of Luke, we find these words. After all these other things have been going on, the Lord commissioned 72 others, and he sent them on ahead in pairs to every city and place that he was about to go. He said to them, "The harvest is bigger than you can imagine, but the workers are few. Therefore, plead with the Lord of the harvest to send out workers for that work. Go. Be warned, though, I'm sending you out as lambs among wolves. Carry no wallet, no bag, no sandals. Don't even greet anyone along the way. Whenever you enter a house, first say, 'May peace be on this house.' If anyone there shares God's peace, then your peace will rest on that person. If not, your blessing will return to you. Remain in the house, eating and drinking whatever is set before you, for workers deserve to be cared for. Don't move from house to house. Whenever you enter a city and its people welcome you, eat what they set before you. Heal the sick who are there. Say to them, 'God's kingdom has come to you.' Whenever you enter a city and the people don't welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'As a complaint against you, I dust my feet of your very dust.' But know this, God's kingdom has come." This is an amazing story as Jesus sends out these 72. The sending of the 72 is a very important moment in the history of the church because Jesus had his 12, but now suddenly there's room for more and all people are being invited. There's some wonderful history that weaves its way into this scripture. The idea that they're sent in pairs is intentional. Not only do we need some company when we're out serving in the world, but at that point in time, if someone showed up and said, "Let me tell you about Jesus, he's done these amazing things," legally, it took two people attesting to something to count as credible witness. So when folks wanted to show up and say, "This is what Jesus is doing," they needed a second person, and then they could be taken seriously. Or this whole idea of eat whatever's set before you. You're talking about a lot of folks who grew up within what is now the Jewish tradition, and they show up in a house, and if someone, you know, is like, "Hey, we're having shrimp," it was very awkward for them. And so this is Jesus saying, this isn't about rules and laws, it's about relationship. You walk in the house, if they set it before you, you enjoy it. In fact, that line about not hopping house to house is about not just looking for the best meal in town. Then there's this piece about if you're not greeted, if your message is not received, you say, "I'm going to brush your dust off my feet and move on." I love this line. We talked a little bit about it last week, that I don't believe ministry is about being pushy. "I'm going to stay here until you agree with me." Oh, those people drive me crazy. What Jesus is saying is, I want you to go out there, and the people who are listening and looking for this message, you give it to them. And the folks that aren't ready for it or that don't want it, let's maintain a good relationship by not being overbearing, by not telling people how they have to live, okay? This is Jesus inviting us to that kind of relationship. But the key phrase in this entire scripture, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." I do love the translation I used today, that it's bigger than you can imagine. I love that language too. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now, when you consider this phrase, it can go one of two ways. You either spend your time focusing on the plenty, or you spend your time focusing on the few. I'm encouraged, and I encourage all of us to focus on what it means to see the harvest as plentiful, instead of getting caught up on the workers are few. You know, there's a lot of church issues that can be seen as plenty or few. One of those is actually, we celebrated today as we gave the Bibles, biblical literacy. This is a phrase most people outside of the church don't hear or think of. But the idea that there was a time where the majority of people knew the big stories in this book. Most folks don't now. Most folks don't. There's amazing statistics. And I was with a group of clergy people, some young clergy talking about it, a report had just come out, and there was this sense of, well, nobody knows the stories anymore. You can't just reference, well, you know, the Good Samaritan, and move on in a sermon. Because you have to tell people the story. And some folks were discussing how, you know, disconcerting that was and how frustrating. And of all things, it was Cary Greenhill, the Reverend Cary Greenhill, who used to serve here as associate pastor, who looked at this room full of people and said, "Is it just me? Or is that an exciting thing to think that we get to be the people to tell folks these stories for the first time?" Well, that's a good attitude. That's a good attitude. And that's the kind of attitude I invite us to see when we look at the needs of the world. There are needs out there that we get to meet. Not, "Oh my gosh, things are falling apart and we'll never make a difference." We get to do this. We get to serve. Because thus it is with the needs of the world and the community and our congregation, the harvest is plentiful. There are so many ways and places and means for us to meet needs and support people and care for others and build relationships. And we've seen that here. As our community events grow in size, as our worshiping community grows in size, as our preschool grows in size, we are being reminded that the harvest is plentiful. And we are invited to share together in the work of bringing it in as God invites us all into ministry. And all means all. Now, we use that phrase a lot during like Pride Month when we're talking about inclusivity, and we use that "all means all" phrase, and so many of us are so proud of that phrase. It's comforting and empowering. God loves all people, and all means all. Can we see it the same way when we hear an invitation to serve? I mean, when an invitation to serve is extended, you know, a generic one or a specific one, "Hey, we need help with this." It's very easy to think that the invitation is made for those around us. Yes, God calls the person next to me in the pew to ministry. Yes, the guy across the aisle looks like he'd make a great Sunday school teacher. And yes, the person behind me sounds like they would make a wonderful usher. All means all the other people. So this is an invitation to recognize that the harvest is plentiful, and we need all of us to be a part. And all means all. The harvest is plentiful in us to need all of us involved. Now, this does not mean you need to do all of the opportunities that are presented. Ask a couple people that have tried. Our bulletin schedule can wear you out. It does not mean you have to give all of your time and energy only here. The all that I'm talking about is that you consider each and every opportunity that you hear. And you consider, could I give it a try? Is it a place I might investigate and see if it fits? Hear the invitation so that when the right one comes, you won't miss it. And if there are some you're not sure about, try them. If you try something, an invitation to serve, and you don't like it, you knock the dust off your feet and you wait for a better fit to come along. I actually love it when folks come to me and say, you know, such and such activity or service project or way to be a part of things in the church, I tried it a few times and I think I'll look for something else. I love that. I love it because they aren't doing something that isn't life-giving. I love that they have the chance now to find something that will be, and that they've created space for a person that might actually love the job that they didn't like. There's nothing wrong with trying and saying, I gave it a shot. See, this is why that together we serve is so important. When we all consider all the opportunities, the right folks become available for that harvest that is so plentiful. That's why we have that helping hand section on the website. It's our way as a congregation for Aaron, our community coordinator, for me, to try to help you help others. It's our helping hand for you to extend a helping hand. The harvest is so plentiful around here. There are homeless families to feed. There are guests to greet. There are pumpkins to paint in that parking lot at the end of the month. There's history to preserve. There are songs to sing. There are environmentally friendly plates to wash after coffee hour. There are so many ways that we contribute to the harvest God has put before us. The harvest is so plentiful, and you are all invited to share in it. All of you. Amen.